Martin.
Oh, I can tell you're in a good mood, and I know why for once.
Yes, you know, he knows why I'm in a good mood for once. Why am I in a good mood, Martin?
Because you have been quite the devil,
yes,
and you've been doing a bit of online shopping, and you've got us tickets for Abba Voyage.
Yes, I did indeed. While he was off camping or whatever you were doing. Were you camping?
I was, yeah, yep. I was camping, yeah.
While he was off camping, got the tickets for Abba Voyage. I have to say, it wasn't that I was expecting it to be crazy to get them, but because I had the sort of pre-sale tickets, I'd click the little link. It actually wasn't too difficult. But yeah, we're off to see Abba next year. Exciting times. You're definitely going to come though. You're not going to stand me up.
I'm definitely going to come, and everything that I said in the last episode about why I didn't think it was a good idea, I now take that back completely. And
right.
100% in. Love the idea. Brilliant concept. Fantastic. Love seeing a hologram. Better than a real person, if anything.
Well,
so
there you go.
So I'm all for it.
And you know, Martin, if you change your mind,
oh no,
someone else can be the first in line.
They can. Very good. And with that awful, awful song reference, welcome to Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Yes, hello, welcome to Nullpois. I'm Laura, that's Martin. This is, of course, a UK-based Eurovision podcast. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we are trying to learn. And along with that voyage, we are trying to write our own Eurovision song, aren't we, Martin, for the UK entry?
We are, and we're still very much doing that. If you've been following the story over the last few episodes, you'll know that we've recruited an awful lot of help. We've found the perfect formula. We've found the person that can give us the right guitar riffs, then someone who could make it a little bit more Eurovision-y with some dance beats.
Synthy,
and some,
yeah.
And yeah, it was really, really good. So you'll know that we are well on the way, and we've even had some lyrics as well. And you might be thinking, well, come on, you two, get on with it. We're sort of saying that as well. Apologies. We just need some time to sit down.
Give us a break.
Yeah, we just need some time to sit down and work and sort of just put the finishing touches to it. And apologies, we haven't had time to do that yet.
We have not.
We will do it as soon as we possibly can. We haven't forgotten about it, and you will be hearing it on an edition of Nullpois very, very soon. In the meantime, I've been doing a little bit of reading, and I'm having a little look, as I often do, Cress, at
okay.
the Eurovision website, Eurovision.tv. And I don't know whether you're aware, Cress, but some fans of Eurovision have started their own podcast, and they make podcasts, these people, about their enjoyment of the Eurovision Song Contest.
Wait, sorry. So there are fans out there, and they like Eurovision.
They like Eurovision.
They're Eurovision fans, and they make podcasts.
Podcasts
about
yeah.
about podcasts about Eurovision.
Yeah, there's a whole article here on the Eurovision website all about it. Europe Calling: The Fandom Embraces Podcasting.
What?
I don't think it's going to catch on, really. But
I don't think it's a thing. Surely not. And who are these podcasts that they mention?
Oh, well, there's a great big list, actually, of podcasts that are mentioned here. And they've highlighted four in particular that they think are really good. And they are ESC Insight.
No.
Ding a Dong.
Right. And then maybe Nullpois. Do they?
Not 12 Points from America.
Oh, it's nearly Nullpois, that
and
one.
And number four...
Nullpois!
No, it's Eurovision Legends, which is a Swedish podcast. So we don't make the list.
ABU, what's going on? Come on, we're a Eurovision podcast.
Don't
we're
you
based
know?
In the UK.
We've had all the big guests on. We've had Blinking Katrina off
we've
of
had Katrina
on.
She's a Eurovision legend.
Yeah. Come on. Okay, we haven't been to Eurovision since we did the podcast, admittedly.
Admittedly. We have been to Eurovision.
Oh, yeah, we've been.
Just stop casting those lies about.
We've been to Eurovision many times,
yes.
But not since we've been doing the podcast. There was a pandemic.
break. Give us a break.
Give us a break.
Anyway, I just thought I'd
mention
that. Well,
there we go. Apparently, the EBU's decided that some people make podcasts about Eurovision and was worth talking to them. But, you know, maybe it got lost in the post, our invitation. That's what we'll just have to assume.
Never mind. Now, you might know, if you've been listening to our story as we try and navigate the world of creating a Eurovision entry, the reason that we got into this in the first place was because we noticed that literally everyone and their dog is putting their hat in the ring and saying, yeah, I could be a great in Eurovision. I would represent the country and I'd do really, really well. And now there's some more people throwing their hat in the ring to be the UK entry.
Do you remember Little Boots, Martin? Oh, do you remember Little Boots?
Little Boots.
Heard you're new in town.
Oh, it's quite scary, really, when you think
about it. Yeah, the end bit didn't go like that. I just kind of made that bit up. But Little Boots.
Okay. Vaguely. I do vaguely, yeah.
Right. Well, the rumour mill once again back in action. Still waiting for the press coverage about us making a song, but never mind. Little Boots, the electropop superstar, apparently, has revealed she's writing a song for Eurovision. She says, she's basically said she's writing a Eurovision song, and there's a picture of her with some headphones on looking like she's maybe about to sing. She looks a bit scared in the picture, to be honest. And she said, calling BBC Eurovision Graham Norton, she's tagged them on Twitter. And that's what she said on her Twitter account. So, I mean, I think she'd be quite good. I mean, she wouldn't be us, obviously. But, you know, I think she was a pretty good singer. I don't really know what she's done for the past couple of years, really, because it was quite a while ago when she, like, sort of 2008, 2009 when she was about. So, good for her, I guess. I mean, she's definitely, she has said she is writing one. So it's not like where you just get tabloids being like, oh, Gemma Collins, she said she might do it. It looks like she is actually properly writing one. I don't really know how the process is going to work this time round for the UK entry. Like, because she's writing one that actually means anything. But there you go, Little Boots we can add to the long list of people who say they want to take part.
Well, speaking of the way that the UK chooses its act, I'm now going to take on a character. Okay, I'm going to take on a character. And my
it's
character...
It's not Gemma Collins, is it? Because we've had enough of that.
It's not just not Gemma Collins.
Thank God
for
that.
This
okay.
is a not. This isn't a specific person. This is a... Well, you see if you can see who I'm being.
Okay.
Everyone hates the Brits. There's no reason that we always lose. Everyone hates us. We go there with really good songs, and then it's just Europe. They hate us because of Brexit, and they hate us, and that's why we don't do very well.
You are an annoying person from the UK.
Correct.
Who doesn't know anything about Eurovision.
Correct. Yes, I am. And it seems that those people are now starting to have such a bigger voice, and such is the kind of the chorus of people saying that Europe hates the UK and that's why we don't do very well, that this is now starting to be a real problem for finding any acts that will put themselves forward to represent the UK.
Yeah, now this is it's worth noting, this is an article from the Mail on Sunday, so take it with a pinch of salt. But they're claiming that UK labels are refusing to send artists to the BBC for Eurovision because of anti-British bias. They're saying BMG, if you remember the record label who were sort of responsible for finding an act and finding James Newman, they spent £25,000 to fund his entry. Don't know where they got that from, if that's true or not. And they're understood to be among those now refusing to repeat the exercise for next year's contest. And it's also saying this boycott could leave the BBC having to discover future acts and fund their entry themselves. And it's basically saying all this rubbish about the results being because of Brexit and factors outside the UK's control, when we all know it's because the songs were shit.
Yep, we've said it before, we shall say it again, the songs are rubbish.
Yeah, the songs are rubbish, the choreography, the on-stage setup, it's just not... I mean, I think it would be difficult unless we had an amazing song for us to win, maybe, because there is, you know, we're not saying there isn't some form of politics in Eurovision, we all know that there is, but not to the extent that, you know, that's why we get double Norpois. And again, take it with a pinch of salt, because is this really what record labels are saying, or is this just the Mail saying this is what they're saying? We don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me if there is some feeling, you know, amongst some labels who are just a bit like, well, why should we bother? It does make me wonder, though, you know, is it such a bad thing if the BBC did properly take control of it and have to discover future acts and fund the entry themselves? Obviously, it might not be great the funding wise, because that's, you know, maybe not something it wants to be taking on, but maybe it just needs to do it. I don't know, and prove that it can and sort of take control of it a bit more, perhaps.
Yeah, and you're right, that would be a funding issue, but I think there are ways of doing that where you could, where, as we've discussed before, create a proper competition, which, yes, you would have to spend money on, but you'd also get TV out of, that selects the acts in that way. I don't know. We've been through this many, many times, but who knows what the answer to it is?
Not me.
Now, just before we do the old trivia time and the correspondence and all of that, I just wanted to talk very quickly about Dorothy, our friend Dorothy from Iceland,
good
who probably would have won in, good mate of ours, who probably would have won in 20, and listener of the podcast, of course.
Yes, he's listened to the podcast, he has.
He has listened would have won, of course, in 2020, we reckon, for Iceland. Did very, very well in 2021. And we're big fans of his music. And there was a tweet the other day, which, if you too are a fan, you'd be very excited about.
Yes, and when we say that, we mean you, the listener, not you two, the band. Yes, Dorothy says, I have started working on a full-length album. I want to have some strong featuring artists on it. Who would you like to see? I have some in mind already, but would love to hear some ideas. So, Martin, if Dorothy could work with anybody, who would you like to see him working with? Because, of course, you know, the backing band of Og Gagnamagnev won't be with him. That was simply a Eurovision thing. So it will be Dorothy on his own. So he really could have this pick of anybody.
Right. Well, of course, Flo Rida obviously needs to make an appearance. I think shove Madonna in there as well. She's got some Eurovision credentials.
Ooh, wow,
having performed in the interval show before. That would be pretty amazing. I don't know. I mean, I think you'd need somebody a little bit kind of synthy pop who'd fit in well with him. Like, what about like Daft Punk?
Yeah, I mean, they have split up, Martin, but
sure, but you know, we're going,
they'd come back for one night only with Dorothy, just to make an,
oh, maybe you just really need one of Daft, just get Daft in.
Yeah,
either Daft or
Punk's
Punk.
Busy.
Yeah, Punk's unavailable. Yeah. Let's get Daft in. Daft and Dorothy, that would be great.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe, because this is quite up Dorothy's street, he could perform with the ABBA holograms, you know? Because, you know, he's all into kind of electro stuff and into making things quite kind of cool and quirky. That could be fun. A lot of people on the thread suggesting Goa, the Ukrainian entry, which I could definitely see working.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I think as a sort of serious suggestion, someone like Chemical Brothers, I think, would be great with Dorothy. Like, they put on an amazing show, and I think he would be really good working with them. They could do something really cool. Or Hot Chip as well. I think they've already done a remix of Dorothy Think About Things, which is really good. So again, I think they'd be perfect together.
Or maybe a guy called Richard Holgate's Wife's Choir, who's also got in touch with Dorothy on Twitter. So maybe that's the way forward.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I think it's time to move swiftly on and maybe do a little bit of... Ready? Trivia Time!
Yes, so it's your turn, Martin. What have you got for us? So Trivia Time. Remember, this is, of course, when we delve into Eurovision's past, we grab a little nugget of trivia and tell you all about it. So what have you got?
Well, you might remember that one of the bees in my bonnet about Eurovision is the lack of a real orchestra. Whenever you look at archive footage of Eurovision from the 70s and 80s and 60s and since Eurovision began, it has a live orchestra, and everybody plays along to the live orchestra, which is as a sort of a keyboard player and a cello player myself, I really like the idea of there being a live orchestra. That went, and I thought I could talk about this, about the reason why that no longer became a thing, because there's a little bit more to it than them just changing the rules.
Okay.
So it happened in 1999. In Israel, when Israel was hosting the contest. Now, this was in Jerusalem. It was Dana International who won, and there was a lot of controversy in Israel with politicians in Israel about hosting the competition, mainly because of Dana International's appearance in it and lots of things around that. And many people didn't want the contest to happen at all. And so they were saying all sorts of things. Oh, no, we can't have it because of this. No, we can't have it because of that. And then they were saying, well, it's way too much money. We can't afford this. We're not going to put it on. It costs so much amount of money. So when the EBU introduced a rule that year which said, you know, you don't have to have a live band if you don't want to, as in some of the acts themselves could choose whether to or not to use the orchestra or not, the Israeli broadcaster went, right, great, scrap that. That'll save us a few quid. And so it happened. So 1999, nobody got a backing orchestra. And it was very, very controversial.
Yeah.
Still is, in fact, very controversial. I came across this... this one line really from Johnny Logan, of course, Eurovision royalty, represented yep. Ireland many, many times and has won for Ireland, who described the contest in 1999 like karaoke.
Wow.
And in a way you can sort of see where he's coming from. They're just singing along to a backing track, and he didn't like that. So karaoke, he thinks. One other thing to note, by the way, which I just came across in my research of this, which was that this is another thing that happened in 1999, so the same time that this change was made with the getting rid of the orchestra, which was that the Big Five became a thing, and it was announced in 1999 that next year the Big Five would automatically go through. And would automatically be in the competition no matter what.
God, there's a lot going on then.
Lot going on. But there you go, a little bit of information. And I'd love your thoughts as well as to whether you think the orchestra is a good idea or bad idea, or what your thoughts on an orchestra in Eurovision are. Please do let me know. Details of how to get in touch at the end of the podcast. But that is Trivia Time!
Thank you so much. Very good one again, Martin. Very interesting to know all about that. We will tell you in just a second how you can get in touch and tell us about your views on the orchestra. But thank you very much. I should say, first of all, in our little correspondence section to Suish Nish, who got in touch. Yes. Told us all about Little Boots. And this is how we found out about this, first of all.
Oh, is it really? Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for giving us that tip, Suis Nish, who told us about Little Boots putting a hat in the ring and saying this: Laura, Martin, you can step down now, but thank you for your service.
You haven't heard it yet. You haven't heard it. Don't write us off before you've heard it. Just go, well, I assume Little Boots would be better.
Yeah.
You don't know that yet. You haven't heard the stuff we've got.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just because literally we've not heard her song, we don't know what she's done, if she's going to carry on with it. She's literally just said, gonna like write a song. I'm writing a song. And you're like, well, Martin, Laura, just, you know, that's it, give up. We've done a lot of work on this as well, Suis Nish.
Yeah, we've found other people to do a lot of work on it.
We found other people to do work on it, yes. But thank you for alerting us to that. It's good to know we've got some competition. If you want to give us tips on anything that's going on in the Eurovision world, or yes, let us know about your thoughts on orchestras and not being part of Eurovision anymore, you can do so on Twitter, as Subish Nish did. We are @Poinol on Twitter. Also on Instagram, we put some pictures up. Need to put some more pictures up on there, but we will be doing so. We've just got so much on. This is just how it goes.
Yeah, sorry.
I was just so busy getting those ABBA tickets. But yeah, we are on Instagram, Nullpoir Podcast on Instagram. Or if you want to send us an email, maybe you'd like to write some lyrics for us for this song. So we don't even have to do that. We are nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, if you're enjoying it, make sure you subscribe to find out when we're next on. And of course, give us a 5-star review too.
Oh, please do that. Yeah, I think we could call maybe a section of the podcast the Delegation Station, where we just delegate things that we need doing to people. Yeah. That would
work
very well.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Back next week, hopefully, you're going to be in... Where are you going?
I'm going to Jersey. So nice. I will be in Jersey for a little bit of the time. But you're making it sound as if I'm not going to come back from Jersey. But I will be coming back. Nothing's going to happen in Jersey.
Hey, Jersey is very nice. You might suddenly decide that you want to just...
I might be like, yeah, well, uproot my entire life. Maybe. And just live... Well, that'll be something to look forward to, listeners. Will that happen? Stay tuned.
Will Cress always, forever remain in St Helier? You'll find out. Right, yes, we'll go now. Thank you very much. And see you again next week, maybe, from Jersey. Speak soon. Ta-ta!
Not from Jersey.
See you again on Nullpoir.
Bye.